I'm back on air as promised with David. David Shombe is here to bring you the early morning scoop. And, it's a very early, morning business and economic, news discussions. A very good morning to you. And, what do you have in store for us this morning?
Yes, good morning, Matthias. Good morning to our listeners. And, now today we are going to reflect on Green Hydrogen Summit, mm-hmm. on Global African Hydrogen Summit, which is happening in Namibia. Yesterday I started with a masterclass, but we are going to reflect on what are the industrial players are saying, especially in those masterclass. As you understand that Namibia, as we are standing now, we are at a very critical but very important juncture, especially when it's coming to where we are going in terms of our economy, because we just hosted not 1 month ago, we just hosted Oil and Gas Summit, and now Namibia is busy also hosting Global African Hydrogen Summit, where you have a lot of industrial players, not only from SADC but around the world, who are also coming to discuss about the future opportunities and also what need to be done, especially when it's coming to green hydrogen. And at the center of today's conversation, we are going to speak more on the aspect of skills and development, because one of the discussion which I think I'll dwell more into it is the aspect of skills that Namibia need to have in order for them to participate in green hydrogen industry, which is already started. We look at vocational training. We look at the commitment of public sector also. And what are various industrial players are also saying, especially when it's coming to capacitating of Namibians in that sector? Because remember, one of the argument which was brought on the table by the director for vocational training in the Ministry of Education is that most of these graduates we are producing, we are putting them in the street, but we need to advance the level of their education and also improve, the skills that we are giving to them. It's quite a mouthful argument also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's expected that attendees will immerse themselves in the heart of the groundbreaking advancements as Africa's hydrogen innovation and technology hub.
Mm.
A dynamic platform designed to unite buy-side investors and project developers. So now, I saw that the biggest investment in the hydrogen, in the green hydrogen, is the European Union.
Yeah.
So now, is Africa, does it mean we don't have enough funds to invest in these projects? Or, what does this really say for us?
No, the right question that you're supposed to ask is that where is European Union getting money from?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look at Namibian trade, you'll be able to understand that apart from China and South Africa being the main trading partner, EU is always at number three. But, that is a question of another day. But it's a good question. You know, African investors, we have domestic investors, we have continental investors. But the problem with us, we are not in order.
Yeah.
That's why you have a lot of billionaires who are not listed. But the question is, where do you get the money from? Yeah, but it's something of another day.
Yeah.
Because in most cases, when you look at these things of development, when you have somebody from outside funding you, it's quite a very good thing. But the question that you're asking, why are you helping me? It's also because you want us to do trade together. And it's also going to be very difficult also, because an investor always have a say. And we have seen this.
Mm.
Always have a say in the resources, which you cannot run away from. But European Union, yes, they have money. No, they have money. And they also have proven to have run successful projects and monitoring and evaluation. If I have to tell you one thing, I used to work for an international institution. And one thing you can credit about, if you are running on a project funded by EU, those guys are very good with accountability.
Okay.
Yeah, they give you money, then they want you to account for everything. You cannot say, no, I took $15 and I bought, a cold drink alongside the street where there is no receipt. You need to make sure that you account for that. You and everything they want, everything, whether you bought a suite, whether you bought fuel, everything. That's why with them, there's always money presented to them, but if they fund one project in Namibia, especially with new projects, you find it very difficult for these guys to go back, because they'll come on your neck to say, where did you spend the money? How was the project? What is the report? It's more, I think 60% is about reporting. 60% of the project is about reporting, but they are very good with accountability. That one, you can credit them with that. But the question you need to ask yourself is that, how are Namibian entrepreneurs going to navigate that industry? And also innovators.
Yeah. Right. That's a snapshot of what you're expecting in the program in Early Morning Scoop today. And from myself, Matthias Sangara, bye-bye for now.
Eagle FM, let's you express your constitution.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's the right time to thank Matthias Sangara. Yeah, this is your business, trade, economic, and developmental conversational program. And we're here from the hour of 6 until 8 in the morning. So we are greeting you from Eagle FM Namibia, wherever you are finding yourself. We are greeting you, and some of you are on your way to work, some of you are going back home, some of you are on your way to complete some projects, some of you are going home, either to the north, to the south, or the east, some of you are coming back to town. But what is very important is what you do, is what you do, and life is made up of decisions that you make. It's about decision that you make. And story is very important also to make sure that when it's coming to the decision that we are making, let us also look long term, and also ask ourselves to say, am I making this decision for myself, or am I making this decision for me and everybody in the community? Because at the end of the day, you must not only do what is right for yourself, but you must also think broadly. then you also understand to say, for the past years which I've been alive, what is my contribution to the community? What is my contribution to Namibia at large? And how many people did I help? And we are always expressing the concept of, you know, doing something great without expecting something in return. And that is what you can contribute to the national development. That's what you can contribute to the community, and also what you can contribute to your region. So this morning, as it has always been the case, this is your morning conversational program. This is where we have real discussions about what is happening in our economy, what is happening in Namibian economy, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and also what is happening at an international ground, what is happening on an international ground, especially when it's coming to geopolitics, when it's coming to trade, and also when it's coming to relationships or relations between countries and also international institutions. Because you are saying the operation of international trade now, or the way the countries are operating, is no more about countries with relationship with other countries, but it's also about bigger corporations, bigger institutions, which have direct and indirect influence on what is happening around, how are the investment going, which country is moving forward in terms of development, what are some of the challenges within the regions. Yeah, that's why we are always indicating to you that this is a platform that we are trying to make sure that every discussion that we are bringing about, we are always trying to make sure that they have a direct or indirect impact to Namibia, because Namibia is a country we do not stand on our own. We do not stand on our own in terms of relations with other country, which means that you cannot operate in silo. So you need to operate with other countries. That's why we are always trying to make sure that we update you what is happening around you, and we give you content and also context of global, continental, and also national news. So what is very interesting is also that, you know, at this program we do not bring about just one directed conversation, but we bring about a conversation which can also is also accommodative, the conversation which is also accommodative, because we're always indicating to say, even if we are bringing about real conversation, discussion on the table, it could be that you are a person who has in-depth understanding of the concept or the discussion that we are advancing further. We are always welcoming you. We are always giving an opportunity. So you can call us in the studio. You can ask your questions. You can give your contribution. You can give also your direct constructive criticism, because we have a good understanding to say, for us to build countries and institutions, we do not necessarily need to agree on everything. Because if you have a friend or a business partner who is always agreeing on everything that you are doing, it means that that person is not on your side, because at some point in time we must disagree to agree. We must also have different opinion about issues and find smart and better ways of, you know, solving those issues. So, looking at Namibian economy, looking at Namibian situation that we are facing, either is food insecurity, either is unemployment, either is trade issue, either is difficulty in adding values to our products, either is corporate governance, either is, you know, SOEs which are not coming, which are not, you know, are doing what they were supposed to do, either is expenditure of money, either is the complaint or the stress that we are always giving to our auditor general, particularly when it's coming to how we spend money. There are a lot of challenges that Namibia is facing. That's why we are always trying to make sure that every contribution that we are bringing, at least bring about one brick that can add value and also can improve the way Namibia is in terms of where it's standing, and also in terms of where the country is going. So before we go to what we have on the table today, it's always very important to make sure that you follow Eagle FM, follow us in all our social media platform, follow us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram and on LinkedIn, because when you do that, you have bought yourself a luxury of accessing economic news, accessing trade news, and also accessing geopolitical news. So that's why we are always indicating to you that when you do that, then you will bought yourself a luxury of not missing out, especially when it's coming to current affairs on development, on trade, and also on food security, and also on political communication, which are in line with national development, because for you to develop the country, for you to develop the region, you need the political will, you need political power, and also we understand that political power is the one which is moving the economic means. That's why that relationship is what we always need to make sure that we update you on and see what we can do. So follow Eagle FM Namibia at our social media platform, share and like our page, because those who are following you also have a right or also follow us. Yeah, apart from following us and liking our page, we also have the Villager newspaper. We also have the Villager newspaper. That is our e-paper, and it's an economic paper which is in a digital platform or in a soft copy. It's an economic paper which is coming out every Monday, every Wednesday, and also every Friday. And we are always telling you to say, if you are a researcher, if you are a student of economics, if you are a developmental enthusiast, if you are an activist, if you are somebody who would like to be up to date, if you are an entrepreneur, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, is part of your sources of acquiring information and data, so that you can enrich your content, your correction, and also be able also to expand your capacity, particularly when it's coming to business, trade, economics, and developmental issues. Because on this ground, when you have access to the Villager newspaper, you can also have an opportunity. You can also have an opportunity to make sure that you follow up on referenced document, reference report, reference speech, reference statistics. And if you're in academia, that's why you find in academia, there's always that professor who is on your neck to say, I want up-to-date sources of information. I want up-to-date sources of information. And if you don't bring me that, it's going to be very difficult for you to graduate. Everybody has faced that situation. But we are telling you to say, if you are a researcher, if you are an economist, make sure that the Villager newspaper is part of your sources of information, so that when you move forward, you have access to those data. And you can also follow up to real or to other original sources. So apart from that, you can also download Eagle FM app. There are always those who are asking to say, Eagle FM, where are you? Why are we not connected to you? Where is the frequency? We are saying the world is moving so fast. The world is moving so fast to that extent that when you wake up, other people have already gone. When you wake up, people are already 20 miles away from where you are. That's why we are saying digitalization is inevitable. The world of advancement is inevitable. It's up to you to choose whether to jump into the ship or to drown. So in this regard, you can download Eagle FM app. You can download Eagle FM app. If you have, you can take your smartphone. You can go to Play Store or you can go to App Store, and you can be able to download Eagle FM app. And when you do that, you have an opportunity to listen to the programs which are on air, like currently, right now. And you can also listen to the previous programs that you have missed through podcast. That is an open archive. You can go to podcast, then you'll be able to listen to the previous programs. Apart from that, you can also download Imba app. Imba app is a digital version of a hymn book. In a world where you are required to go to a place and you sing from a hymn book, or you give respect to somebody, or you are celebrating a certain event, either it's graduation or it's, a send-off ceremony, you need to make sure that if you do not have a hard copy hymn book, you do not need to worry. Just take your phone, go to Play Store, go to App Store, then you download Imba App. So the beauty of Imba App is also that you will be able to access a hymn book in various Namibian languages. So if it's Oshiwambo, that is your Ehangano. If it's in Oshierero, that is your Maimburiro. look at Afrikaans, Silozi, and many other local Namibian languages. So make sure that you download Imba app, and when you do that, you are not only working smart, but you are working with the trend of time. You are working with the trend of time, and you are also saving your time, energy, and also focus on other priorities while you are making your life easier when you are using up-to-date apps. So, and yeah, before we go to what we have on the table today, so it's also very important to make sure that you communicate with our marketing team. Communicating with our marketing team. Talk to me, Monica Ipinge, so that you can be able to buy airtime on air, and you can advertise. You can advertise with us because you have an opportunity to reach to thousands of clients, and you have an opportunity also to reach to not only clients in Namibia, but your potential client in the world, because when you talk about the digital vision, we look at global access. So make sure that you advertise with us. You can also advertise with the Villager newspaper, and you will get your products across the world, because we are always indicating to you that money invested in advertisement is money on the way to come back to you, or money on the way to come back to the investor. So do that and you will never suffer again. So let us look at commercial break. Then we'll see what we have today, what we have today in the context of what is happening around the world, and also coming to Namibia, and also coming to Namibia. So stay tuned. We are here until the hour of 8. We are here until the hour of 8.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend.
Yes, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, with me, David Shombe. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, and those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is your economic conversational program. So economic conversational program, and we look at global affairs, we look at continental affairs, and we look at national affairs, what is really happening around our country, and also what are some of the measures that we need to take in order also for us to improve and also moving forward. So we are starting with France. There's a lot of things which are happening in the world. There's a lot of things which are happening in the world. And let us look at what is the relationship between the politics and the economy, and what is, how is the state of Western world without the resources of Africans. And with much respect, we are not saying we do not want the Western world, but we are just saying we want them as much as, you know, they want us. When you look at statistics, when you look at also what is happening, especially when some of major economic relationships are cut, you know, between African countries and also the Western countries, it was indicated that the French Prime Minister, that is Francois Bayrou, has been voted out of power. And one of the reasons that the French Prime Minister was voted out of power is a conundrum of it's a debate over you know, the budget. It's a debate over the budget where the National Assembly, different political parties, different politicians with different ideologies said, even if we do not agree with each other, when it's coming to issues of budget, we have to make sure that we vote the Prime Minister out. And he has to resign. He has to resign because it was indicated that the French Prime Minister was proposing the cut of 44 billion euros to reduce the country's burden of debt. When you look at that context, that is what is caused, you know, the conundrum. That is what is what have caused the disagreement and push and also pull between you know, National Assembly deputies. That's why he has to be voted out. And for your own understanding, one of the reasons is that France is finding itself in a very difficult position, especially when it's coming to economy. And France debts, per GDP, it's you know, when you are putting it on the scale of percentages beyond 100%, which is around 114%, and when you are calculating that, when you are putting that into context, you will be able to realize that France has huge burden on its economy. And it's also very also interesting also to look at how did France come into this position. How did France come into this position? You need to understand that when you take 3 years back, when you see countries like in the Sahel region, you look at Mali, you look at Burkina Faso, you look at Senegal, you look at Central Africa. Some of these countries, or these countries, were former colonies of France, and the French government depend more on colonial tax and also mineral resources from this region. And you need to understand also that France has also expanded its military to give protection to its former colonies. And we have seen the emerging of a new you can call them dictators if you like. We can also see the emerging of new military leaders who took over government, particularly in the Sahel region. And you see that that has allowed these countries to sell their minerals at a standard price, and also cut ties with France, or make sure that when it's coming to trade agreement, they sell at normal or standard price. Unlike you do a road construction for me, then I pay you in mineral. So this is what this is one of the things which have put France in that critical situation. And the other thing also that you need to put on the table is also the global changes, because when it's coming to trade, strong economic powerful countries, they are also realigning themselves. They are forming various you know, economic blocks, and they are also you know, trying to put on measures to protect their economies. That's why you see the emergence of of tariffs war, where the U.S. has to impose tariffs to many countries, not only those who are in Africa, but around the world, which has also impacted the cycle of trade, has impacted the cycle of trade, and also put countries like France in a very difficult, situation, because when countries find themselves, like African countries find themselves in a very difficult situation when it's coming to tariffs, they also find a mechanism on how to repay that money that they are losing. That's why things are no more cheaper as usual. And you also need to understand that France have been more focused on trade. However, when you also look at what happened last year, France also tried to apply to join BRICS. Remember, when you look at the global economy, a lot of people, when they are looking at BRICS, they are looking at it like anti-Western, which is not. But France tried also to join BRICS. But BRICS has been seen as the economic blocks of emerging developing countries. But you know what happened? France was rejected. The question that you're asking yourself is that, why is France applying to join BRICS? France applied to join BRICS because they value trade over any other political ideologies, and they also want to save their people. That is why now, when you look at this situation, the Prime Minister has to go, and the Prime Minister has to go. And it's not the first Prime Minister who is going. It's not the first Prime Minister who is going. And what is very interesting is that the political structure of France is made in that context that the Prime Minister is powerful, although not powerful than a president, but is also held accountable by the National Assembly. What you also need to know is that in France, the Prime Minister is elected by National Assembly, then has to be confirmed or appointed formally by the president. What is very interesting is also that the same Prime Minister is also the one who has to propose ministers. He has to propose ministers and bring them to the president, and also work out on formation of government, because in that context of France, the Prime Minister is the head of government and also accountable to National Assembly, and while the president is the head of the state. And you need to find out that difference, that difference, for you to move forward, because you must understand that there's a difference between being a head of government and also at the head of the state. That's why when it's coming to, for example, to Namibia, it's quite different. It's quite different. The president is the head of the state and also head of government, while the prime minister is only head of government business in parliament. But you need to look at that. But the prime minister, in terms of France, is also the one who has to make sure that he defend the budget. He defend the budget. And if National Assembly gank against you, then you have to go. And that is what's happening. And now, President Emmanuel Macron is in a very difficult position to see who is going to be the next prime minister and how is this prime minister going to save the French economy. But yeah, it's a news to look up to. It's a news to look up to. But the question that you need to ask yourself is that, how is the outside world without the resources of the African countries? That's a question that you need to ask yourself. And we are not asking this question because we want division. It's just to put context, to say, although you are putting yourself down as Africans, know that you have value. Although you are putting yourself down as Africans, know that you have value. So that's why we need to make sure that when it's coming to resources, let us trade at standard level, and also let us respect each other. Because without African resources, there will be no political stability in the Western or Eastern world, because we are the wealthy of the world, and we must respect and also make sure that we get access to those resources and trade at a balanced rate, unlike, what have happened for quite some time. So let us look at that news and move forward.
France's prime minister is resigning today after losing a vote of confidence in parliament. François Bayrou called the vote himself in a last-ditch effort to get his budget plan passed. Now French President Emmanuel Macron will have to find a new prime minister for the third time in a little over a year. ABC's foreign correspondent Tom Soufi Burridge is in Paris with more. Tom, what's the latest on how this went down?
Yeah, Diane. So within the last hour, the French prime minister, or former French prime minister now, François Bayrou, has gone to the Élysée Palace, tendered his resignation to French President Emmanuel Macron. Now, he did that because he lost a vote of confidence in the parliament yesterday. And he called that vote of confidence in the parliament, the prime minister, because he had put forward a raft of economic measures to try and reduce France's deficit, because France has a very large and growing public debt. And what you've got in France is a deeply divided parliament. The former prime minister now, unable to get those economic measures through. It included scrapping two national holidays. So you can imagine many politicians across the spectrum were opposed to that. And basically, we now have a real sense of political crisis in France, but also it is linked to this potential financial crisis and this huge debt which keeps on growing, and the political divided political class at the moment unable to tackle it in any meaningful way.
Tom, now ban everything protests are being organized for tomorrow in France. What can you tell us about those? What do you expect?
Yes, yeah, so the far left groups, unions are all organizing what they hope and are calling a day of paralysis in France. We're expecting protests right across the country. We've just been hearing from France's interior minister, who says that 100,000 police officers and gendarmes will be deployed to protect critical infrastructure. So, you know, here in France, we're expecting disruption at airports. We're expecting disruption on public transport. There could be disruption at schools. There could be disruption around oil refineries and those kind of institutions as well. The French government says it will crack down hard on anyone carrying out illegal activity. It maintains the right of people to protest peacefully in organized demonstrations, but we'll be looking at tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see how widespread this really is, whether or not this really is significant, this day of action, but it plays into this kind of political crisis in the country.
Now, to not have a prime minister.
Well, look, he remains in office, Diane. The president's term runs through to 2027, but it's a distraction. I mean, on the domestic front, he's effectively paralyzed for the moment, for the time being. I mean, Macron says he will appoint a new prime minister in the coming days. That is a kind of message of reassurance to the country and possibly to the financial markets too, because, you know, amid this sense of crisis, the amount of interest that France is paying on its public debt goes up because of the uncertainty. So look, the French government is saying we will be able to get a new government, a new prime minister, but it won't be easy. I mean, finding a prime minister who can get a majority of support in a deeply divided parliament and...
Yes, that is what's happening. That is what's happening. That is what's happening in France, where you have a prime minister who proposed economic reforms, but rejected by parliament. Parliament, and he also has to call for a vote of no confidence, which he did not survive. And he's not the first prime minister; he's the third in less than a year. That is how critical, how difficult the situation is in France. And what is this has to do, especially when it's coming to the financial market, when it's coming to investment, and also when it's coming also to trade relations, because you need a well-functioning government. You need a well-functioning government. And you also need to understand that France is also one of the most tourist attraction destination, especially those who want to visit Paris. They call it Paris. That is how they call it. It's the capital city of France. Or they call it Paris. But with a political imbalance, or with a political deadlock, where you have citizens also who are organizing themselves to protest, and police officers who are also saying, we are not going to allow you that to happen. We are not going to allow you to destroy infrastructure. It's another case to look at. But the question we need to ask ourselves is that, why did France come into this crisis? How come they end up having huge national debts? what were their main sources of, income, especially at the national level. When you look at 5 years back, how was France benefiting from mineral resources, either in Africa or around the world? And what changes? What changes? And what is the way forward? How is the politics looking like? And how is the economy going to move forward? And also, how is this going to impact investment and also trade, either into France or from France? Because remember, being part of EU, is also, you're also required to pay a portion of fund, and also to fund some developmental project, and also to send some funds to international developmental organizations. But at that crisis where your budget, you are budgeting what you do not have, and you have a crisis of government, and then you have not a well-functioning government, is something that I need to be looked at. So let us look at other news. What is happening? What is happening? Before we go to other news, it's also very important to look at what is happening. And the other thing that we need to look at is the attack by Israel. Attack by Israel before we come to Africa. It was indicated that Israel Air Force has attacked some of the buildings in Qatar with the aim of looking for Hamas, which brought a bit of tension or diplomatic tension between Qatar, Israel, and also United States of America. And you need to understand that Qatar has been one of the countries is the richest country in the world with ever-growing GDP, and with just a population of not more than 3 million, but huge investment, huge trade relations, huge wealth of oil accumulations. But what you need to look at is also that Israel has attacked some of the buildings in Qatar, apparently looking for Hamas leaders, while Qatar was busy breaking these deals. And we need to understand that Qatar has been a center of global trade, particularly when it's coming to the Middle East, especially when it's coming to the trade of oil, investment in gas, and also has been always trying to make sure that when it's coming to conflict, even when you go back to the conflict between M23 and the government of DRC, is the Qatar government which has always been at the center of trying to solve this conflict, because their interest is more on trade, their interest is more on building relationships, and also focus on trade. But seems like Israel is it's a question that we need to ask yourself, that Israel is hitting countries here and there, looking for Hamas, hitting countries here and there. And the question is it the beginning of Israel or the end of Israel? Or how are these strikes going to end? Is it going to bring another regional war? Or is Israel going to finish the war that she has started? Or how is this going to balance peace, especially in the Middle East, where you have now a lot of enemies? There's a lot of enemies. There's a lot of ongoing killings again in Gaza, where calculations are indicating that it's beyond 60,000 people who have been killed so far. And but yeah, let us look at this, and also let us also look at how Qatar have responded, because people are saying Qatar have put their jet fighters on air, trying to make sure that they patrol their air, and also controlling their airspace. And what you need to understand is also that when I take you back again, is also that there is also one of the strongest military base of USA in Qatar. Now the question that you are asking yourself is that is this a confusion of allies, or is it part of the plan? So let us look at this before we come to what's happening in Africa.
Nations and the Arab The United Nations and the Arab League have strongly condemned Israel after it launched a strike targeting Hamas leadership in Qatar on Tuesday. Israeli officials said the attack was aimed at Hamas's headquarters in Doha, though details of how it was carried out remain unclear. UN Secretary General Guterres expressed alarm, saying Qatar had been playing a constructive role in ceasefire talks.
We are just learning about the Israeli attacks in Qatar. I condemn this flagrant violation of the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Qatar. All parties must work towards achieving a permanent ceasefire, not destroying it.
An Israeli military spokesperson suggested the Air Force was involved. Despite the strike, Qatar Airways flights continued to land in the capital. The strike threatens to further complicate already stalled negotiations over ending the war in Gaza, even as fears mount of a new Israeli military offensive.
Yes, that is what is happening. That is what is happening, especially the side of Qatar. Side of Qatar. Let us look at Mali. And also what is happening in Mali, especially when it's coming to the economy. Yeah, it's indicated that when it's coming to Mali, there's a ongoing growing concern of Al-Qaeda linked militants who are, you know, tightened their blockade on fuel imports. There's an ongoing concern about militias who are also blocking the trade of fuel in Mali. That is one of the news which is there, and there's also a fear of economic strain. It's a fear of economic strain because you cannot have trade without fuel. It's the same as you cannot have trade without energy. So you need both. You need trade and fuel. You need energy, you need proper infrastructure, but if one of those things are blocked, then it will impact the way you do trade, it will also impact the way you do business, and it will impact also your revenue. So let us look at this news before we come at home. Let us look at this news before we come at home, because when you come at home, there's quite some positive news also, especially from football side, where there is a bit of a hope of Namibia getting into World Cup, but we'll get that news later. But let us look at this case of Mali. Let's look at this case of Mali, especially when it's coming to the trade of oil and also the involvement of militias. And yeah.
Malians are growing increasingly anxious as Al-Qaeda-linked militants tighten their blockade on fuel imports, touching trucks on key supply routes and threatening to choke off the country's economy. The armed group announced the blockade in a video last week, claiming responsibility for recent attacks on convoy bringing fuel from neighboring Senegal. Residents of the capital say fear is spreading fast. The information that we know now is that the jihadists have spread information that they are taking over everywhere. In Bamako, this frightens us. We are afraid and we are worried. But it is propaganda. They will not be able to take Bamako. I'm a soldier. I swear to heaven that the terrorists cannot take this territory. Mali's landlocked geography makes it especially vulnerable. The country relies on import from Senegal and Cote d'Ivoire for essential goods, including fuel and cement. Economist Madibou warned the blockade could have crippling consequences. 33% of everything Mali buys as goods and services from abroad is fuel and its derivatives. So Senegal is an important source of supplies for our country. It's about stopping economic exchanges, economically suffocating our country. And above all, preventing the capital from getting supplies.
empêcher la capitale de se ravitailler.
Violence that was once concentrated in the north has steadily crept southward, with Bamako itself suffering deadly attacks in recent years.
That is what's happening in Mali. That's what's happening in Mali. And you need to understand also that, you know, governance also matters. Governance also matters. Although we praise leaders, it's also very important also to look at governance. How strong is your government, and also how strong is your military? Because at the end of the day, you will be caught surprised, especially when it's coming to your trade road, because they are indicating that there's a blockage. It's a blockage of Al-Qaeda-linked militants who are blocking the trucks to come into Mali, and they are indicating that they are going to cripple the Mali's economy. And also need to look at what you have stated to say who is in charge of Mali. Who is in charge of Mali? Mali is one of those countries which are led by military leaders, which are led by military leaders. And you will be able also to understand that these are some of the military leaders who took over, especially from 2000 to 2020 onward there. And you see, and you will also be able to see and also ask questions to say, why there is always militias in Africa? Who is backing up these guys? Why there is always rebels? And it's a word that we put to people who are against us, but who is backing up these people? And when you look at these rebels, they are well armed. The same with M23. The government of DRC at one point, they have suffered defeat in only one-on-one battle when it's coming to M23 military engagement, because these people are well armed. They have night vision glass. They have latest machine guns. They have laser weapons. And you're asking yourself to say, how come what is called a terrorist group or what is called a militia can overpower the government in a battle? Whose interest are these people serving? And who is behind these people? Now you have Mali trying to improve its economy. Then you have a blockage. Then we see what will happen. So that is what's happening, especially from international ground. And it's also very important to look at what is happening at home before we go to the main conversation for today. But for now, you can also be able to engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So you can give your contribution, ask your questions, and also give your clarification. Because when it's coming to what is happening around the world, when it's coming to what's happening around the world, it's either the economy or it's military. It's military. And at the end of every military battle, there are always economic interest. Economic interest that are pushing these countries to get into war on or security interest. So let us look at commercial break. Then we come and look at what is happening in Namibia. What is happening in Namibia, and what is the main context for today, especially when we are going to look at the aspect of green hydrogen. Where are we standing as a country? What are the skills that we have? What are we lacking? And also moving forward, what are the opportunities also in the future? What are the opportunities in the future? Because at the end of the day, we must ask ourselves to say, learning from history of the past Namibian economy, learning from the history of dependency, learning from the history of investors dominating the decision about the future of resources, the trade issues. What are those things that we have learned so far, and how we can navigate through these changes, and what can we contribute on the table, judging from the history also of having external institution which own more than 80% or more than 90% of your resources or of your mind. We also need to look at that aspect also to see, although we understand although we understand that there are those who are coming with their machines, there are those who have deep understanding and also technical know-how on how to deal with green hydrogen, we also need to make sure that we also negotiate at a fair share, although you have your machines, and also let us see how Namibians who also benefit from this green hydrogen sector and moving forward. So let us look at the commercial break, then we move forward.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, the time is 2 minutes past the hour of seven. 2 minutes past the hour of seven. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of eight. And before we go to what we have on the table today, it's also Namibia victory, especially when it's coming to football. It was indicated that yesterday Namibia has won their match against Sao Tome, that was in Botswana. That was Namibia won 3-0 after well-known striker Peter Sharurire has scored three goals. That is a hat-trick, 3-0, and which set Namibia at a very good position, to be hopeful to qualify for FIFA World Cup, And, it's quite a very interesting news. It's quite a very interesting news. And it's also maybe giving also hope to say, maybe one day when it's coming to the sport economy, Namibia will become somebody. Because it's also trying to indicating to you that if sport infrastructures are well built, if our sport, if our athletes are well sponsored, it also will make Namibia to move into the map. It will also make Namibia to move into the map because it has proven itself. Because when you look at a person like Peter Sharurere, this is one of the not only number one player in Namibia. He dominated the league of South Africa. He broke the records of Siyabonga Nomvete. And he's one of the top footballers, or one of the top footballers in Africa. It's coming from Namibia, but when you look at the Namibia infrastructure, football infrastructure, you also be able to see that we are not yet in a position to host African tournament or play African sport. You'll be able also to see that if efforts, what is being put on the table is what is also being done. Maybe at one point we'll also be able to be in the map because, you know, Namibia we had good footballers, we have talented people, but our infrastructure and our investment in our talented people, it can be from creative industry, you go to sport. When you go on international ground, we don't perform anymore because little to no investment into our Namibian athletes. And I've seen one boxer in Namibia who is now, I think he's an upcoming boxer, he started winning title, but this man used to drive a taxi. At one point, I got into a taxi with him and we started talking, but after a few years, I see him on the map. Then I realized to say, this guy is hustling and is also improving his talent. But imagine if there was full support of this person, he would be somewhere. Because if you look at our sport economy, you look at our ranking, especially you talk about boxing, we are doing well in Africa, but when you go on international ground, you know, few moments in Namibian history where we won cups. That if I have to remember very well, when it's coming to Namibia winning a cup, was it 2015? It's that time of Ricardo Manetti when he was a coach, when we won COSAFA. And from there, I don't think we have recovered anymore. We just become Simon Yamarombo. We just being whipped out here and there, left, right, and center. The last time we qualified for World Cup, I cannot remember watching Namibia playing at World Cup for the past 20 years. I cannot remember that. If you can remember, maybe you can correct me. And the last time we were also very happy when it's coming to the sport. It's that time of 2009 when Hitman made history by bringing up, international title, that is WBA. That time when he defeated Yusuke Kombori from Japan. That time we were also getting somewhere in the map, and for the first time also since the time of Harry Simon, when he was at his peak, that we see Namibian being promoted. But what we are trying to say is that the Namibia winning yesterday, it's also giving us hope to say we have people. If you look at how Peter Sharurere was scoring those goals, you'll be able to understand also that talent is there. If you look at the ranking that Sharurere is breaking in South Africa and in Africa in general, they're unimaginable. But how many Peter Sharurere do we have in Namibia that are not supported? If we can just look at that area, I think when it's coming to sport, you would be somewhere. And it's also a good thing to celebrate. The last time Namibia we were united is when Boma was overtaking those Jamaican ladies in Japan Olympic. But yeah, something that we need to look at, and also asking ourselves questions to say how many Namibians are dying with their talent, especially in athletes, even musics, even actors. And what can we do apart from talking? What can we do apart from talking? Is it really that Namibia, we are not good at playing football, that we never qualified for World Cup in the past 20 years or so? Or is it because we are not supported on that ground? What can we do moving forward? So those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. But that is not a discussion for today. It's just a very important discussion also to have, especially when it's coming to football and also when it's coming to advancing the talents of Namibia. Because when you look at the sport economy, England, Spain, and also Germany, the one of top leagues in the world in terms of football, and generate a lot of money to the economy, generate a lot of money even to EU. And when you economize that, or when you invest in sport, you'll be able also to see that you don't only improve talent, or you don't only improve talent, but you also improve circulation of finance and also development of infrastructure. So moving forward, today we are going to look at the recently started or the recently commenced event, which is it's a Global African Hydrogen Summit. It's a Global African Hydrogen Summit where you have various international players, continental players who are gathered here in Namibia, and also discuss about opportunities and also about how we can advance or add value, and also benefit too from the green hydrogen industry. And it's also quite very important also to discuss, especially when you are advancing this conversation of green hydrogen. It's also quite very important also to ask ourselves, to say, how are we going to handle our green hydrogen, and also how can Namibians contribute positively to the development and of this green hydrogen? What are some of the business opportunities which are there? And those are some of the questions that we need to look at. And also to give you a bit of highlight of what have happened, especially yesterday, where there was an opening, or there were master classes, discussions about Namibia. And I also have seen, met a few players in this sector from around the world, such as, you know, France, Mozambique, Germany. And we had a bit of a discussion about the sector of green hydrogen, and I also take you through a bit of content on the discussion from Namibian side, especially when it's coming to skill development, because at the center of that, at the center of yesterday's conversation was more on skill development, to say, where is Namibia? Where are we standing? Where are we standing as a country? And one of the questions is that ready to deliver, building institutional muscle for hydrogen future. Are we still yet at a discussion, or we are still moving forward? However, there was a very interesting panel, especially where you have a head of cooperation from EU delegation, you have a manager for research and planning from NTA, and you also have a director of vocational training education, director from Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. And you're also able to see the discussion from that perspective, to say, where are we Namibians? Where are we Namibians? And what are we doing in terms of moving forward and also become players in these green hydrogen sectors? And the question that was asked is that, do we have skills in Namibia? Do we have skills, or do we have required technical skills in Namibia? And the other thing is also that one of the questions which was asked is also that do we have collaborations between private sector, public sector, and also individual players when it's coming to delivering of green hydrogen result. And it was also very interesting. It was also very interesting also to see, especially when the head of EU cooperation in Namibia has to give some of the perspectives, actually interesting perspectives to see. When it's coming to the aspect of green hydrogen, investors are ready. Investors are ready. But one of the things that he said, and if I remember correctly, is that there is a little bit of no cooperation. There's a little bit of no cooperation, and when it's coming to public sector, they are taking a bit of time. They are taking a bit of time, especially when it's coming to delivering or building, institutions, unlike private sector, and there is a bit of skepticism from funders' perspective. That was in terms of green hydrogen. Let us look at commercial break and move forward.
When life gifts you...
Honey, the washing machine broke again.
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS GIFT to 32274.
Yes, moving forward, because you have a perspective of an investor, you have a perspective of Namibian government, especially when it's coming to green hydrogen, and also when it's coming to technical skills. And one of the very interesting also conversation, or one of the very interesting perspective which was brought, on the table is the aspect of where Namibia is standing in terms of vocational training education. And Miss Mwia, that is Miss Daria Mwia, who is a director for vocational training and education in the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, and Art and Culture, stated that Namibia, we are standing at a position where we have also a lot of vocational training graduates who are also in the just around. They are not absorbed by the market. That is what she stated. And she also showed a bit of concern about vocational training education graduates. And one of the things that she mentioned, and it's very interesting, is that, the government at this point in time is at a process of reviving and transforming of vocational training centers. And one of the points which was mentioned is that is to advance the levels of education and the content of education which is being given to these students who are at a vocational training center, and also to make sure that when these vocational training centers are transformed, they offer advanced levels, to say you are not only going to get the level 1 to 4, but you can also go until level 6 and 7. And one of the arguments is also to say the attempt to transform vocational training centers to college. That is one of the point. And with reason being that when vocational training centers are transformed to college, they will be able also to give content and advanced level that will allow these students to partake in in also green hydrogen sector. And the other thing is also that there is an appointed task force by the government to make sure that they transform. They say that the task force team, which is led by one of the academicians from NASDAQ, if I'm not mistaken. And the aim of that team is to brief the government on the standard of Namibia vocational training, and also what are some of the measures to be put on the table so that the vocational training education in Namibia can be transformed, which is quite a very positive thing. And one of the things that Meme Muya indicated is that by early next year, transformation would be in the process, as they are waiting for that task force to complete its work and also to present the results. So it's quite a positive news to hear. However, we have questions on top of that. We have a lot of questions on top of that to say, what will happen? What will happen? What is the impact of transformation of vocational education center to college? What is that you are going to be to do differently? What is that you are going to do differently from what you are already doing? And do we have something on top of that? And it's also something that we need also to discuss, to say, do we have something on top of that? What do I mean by that? When I say do we have something on top of that, we have seen transformation of techniques to universities, but unemployment has still continued, or innovation has still been a barrier. Innovation has still been a barrier. We have seen transformation of techniques to universities. Because it's very interesting also to see that at one point you get a high level of education where you can be able to specialize and do something. And it's also very important also to look at the statistics also, what you have already have to say. Is it only transformation or advancement in terms of the levels of education, or there is something more than that? Because that is where we need to get into. And that is something that we have been also discussing at this platform, to say our people who went to vocational training, education, our technicians, our artisans, do they have other skills such as project management? Or do they have other skills such as leadership? Or do they have other skills such as financial management? Because if that is not being done, it will be very difficult to have an impact, because it will be absolutely a bit of no change, because you just change the university, you just end another module, which that person could have gotten when he or she goes to a university to add to that level. Let me say you did electrical, a diploma in electronics or electrical engineering. You can still advance with the content, so you can become an engineer in electrical engineering at the NASDAQ or at the University of Namibia. But the question we are asking is that, do we have more on top of that? Because green hydrogen is not an easy thing to do. I mean, it's not an easy project to carry on. And also partaking in that does not mean that you are at the center of that. Yeah, that's why, when we are bringing about this conversation, we are also asking those questions to say, who will be at the center of that, and how are our shares? What markets do we have? How are our shares in that green hydrogen as ordinary Namibian? So that is one of the discussion which was brought about, and also the question was asked, and it was also very interesting also to see how. I managed to be in a group discussion where these various experts from various parts of the world have to discuss, and also got an opportunity also to listen to what are these people thinking about our country, and what are they thinking need to be done, which is quite a very positive thing to say. What are those things that need to be done in order to make sure that at least you add value to the product, or at least you advance the industries of that country? Because one of the questions which was asked And it was also very interesting to see that one of the questions which was asked is to say, what is need to be done, or what is needed for an efficient participation of public and the private sector in opportunity-driven approach? That is one of the questions which was asked at the masterclass in terms of in the context of green hydrogen, to say what is need to be done for an efficient participation of public and also public sector. I mean public and also private sector in opportunity-driven approach. A lot of things, I was so surprised to listen to various, industrial players from around the world, because a lot of things we have been discussing about them here. Especially when it's coming to trust. Issues of trust between public and private sector. There must be building of trust before cooperation. There must be building of trust. The issue of sharing insight and data. And it's a fact of the matter to say, when you are embarking on projects of green hydrogen or which has already started, data and information matters. But it's undeniable also to see that even when you look at the financial sector, you'll be able to realize that private sector, they invest more in research and development, and they have more data, and they are not sharing this data. There was a discussion on, because if you look at discussion, for example, of issues of cyber security, you'll be able also to understand that private sector, they have very strong walls. They have very strong data. They have very strong techniques, or they are more advanced in terms of protecting themselves. But when it's coming to government, it's coming to local and regional authority, it's an open cut. So that's why one of the things is that for us to promote effective participation of public and private sector in opportunity-driven approach, number one is trust and cooperation. And the other thing which was also put on the table is the issue of accountability. When you speak about when you speak about trust, I have to trust you, but we must also be accountable to each other, and there must also be an element of transparency, because when you have an element of transparency in management of your natural resources, it's more easier to be trusted. It is also more easier to do business, because without transparency, we wouldn't be where we need to get into. Because remember, we want to go somewhere. We want to go somewhere as a country. Green hydrogen is ours. Oil and gas is ours. But you know where the problem is? It's how we deal with our businesses every day. Look at the government. Look at their expenditure. Look at their management of natural resources. It's not only the central government. Look at local authorities. The report from Auditor General is out. Look at that. There is no, almost all towns, almost all sectors, if not all, we are not being able to manage our resources. And number one of the main important thing is governance. One of the main important thing in government is governance. And remember, we are going to fight each other. We are going to fight each other if we don't change the way we do things. We are going to fight each other in this green hydrogen project. We are going to fight each other in this oil and gas, because if we cannot manage our natural resources, if we cannot manage resources effectively with a transparent manner, we are not going to achieve anything. Because remember, if you have EU as a partner, we can say whatever you want about EU, but EU, you cannot take away transparency from them. If they are funding you, you'll be able to understand that they are very, very clear about what they want. They don't deal with the financial report of forging documents. They want what is it, where you spend their money on. But the question is that how are we going to pull up this bigger project, which I've already started, by the way, and what will happen in the next 5 years? because where money is involved, where human greed is also involved, where challenges are also involved. So let us look at the commercial break, because we have around 30 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Today we are reflecting on Global Africa Hydrogen Summit, which is an ongoing summit. It's an ongoing summit, which is happening in Namibia, where you have a lot of industrial players from around the world, where they are discussing about opportunities, investment, and also the future of green hydrogen. Because, you know, Namibia, we are standing as a strategic hub, not only in terms of green hydrogen, also the futuristic positioning of Namibia in terms of oil and gas. That is where we are standing so far. Then the question is that these things that we have, are they going to make us or are they going to break us? Because there are only two things we can be between. If we manage them very well, by 2050, we are all going to be wealthy, and we are going to be so optimistic about the future, and industries are going to be built. But if they break us, by 2050, we are going to fight each other here in the street. We are going to beat each other. Everybody is going to have a gang. And it's only the man who has power who is going to lead. But that is not where we want to get into. Because when we are bringing about this, economic developmental conversation, we want to see the Namibia that we want to see in the lens of African continental Agenda 2063. The Africa that we want, where development is well defined, to say we want to see the Africa not only develop in terms of infrastructure, but Africa which is centered in human development, the Africa of peace and stability, silencing of gun, the Africa of cultural diversity and all those things. The Africa where development is seen, where women and children are protected. But is that what we see? Is that the reflection of us, even in the Namibian context? Is that the reflection of us? Is our development centered on human development? So let us look at commercial break, then we move forward. Because these are critical conversations that we must have, because we must not run away from conversation until it's too late. Because when you are doing risk testing, you don't need to sound like a pessimist or somebody who is negative, but somebody who want to protect that what you are risk testing. So let us get the commercial break, then we move forward.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you.
Yes, you can call back. You can call back. Then you give your view. So at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. So you can call back and give your contribution, because that is what is matter. That is what is matter. We need to hear from you also. We need to hear from you. What do you think about the conversation, and what can we do moving forward? So at this point, it's also very important also to realize that the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. That is why, if you want to get content and context of economic matters, the Villager newspaper is out, and you can access it by just making sure that you send your name and save this as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-241-44. So when you do that, then you'll be able to receive the Villager newspaper. Hello?
Sorry, man.
Hello?
Sorry. Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm well.
So, David Chombe.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yes, the vocational, I think, I don't know whether we spoke about them yesterday.
No, they were speaking what you always speaking. That's why I wanted you to come to this conversation. It's like you read. They read your mind.
A prophet of the doom. What?
Yeah.
Whenever there is politics, those are the. The terms that you hear now, the prophet of doom.
You know what? Politicians, they create a lot of sophisticated vocabulary, especially when they are fighting. No, the charlatans, they say, no, where did these people learn English?
Latin America.
No, they know they are weird when they start speaking. Those are.
Everybody start listening.
Oh, you start
so
listening.
Now,
yeah.
Yes, I think we all have a stake.
Yeah.
We all have a lot to play in those development.
Yeah.
So remember, these are the things that I don't know. Honestly speaking, sometimes I wonder if we have those few ones that we have.
Yeah.
The artisans and all those who have done technical.
Yeah.
At least we also need a lot of instructor.
Mm.
You know, we have got very few instructor
in
that area.
Yeah.
So we usually have a conversation with my son because he's also in that area. And I said, fine, since you are here and you are good, why don't you think about becoming an instructor? And, these are guys who have got good brain, like mathematics, physics, chemistry, those ones.
Yeah.
And now this green hydrogen and all this industrial, what is it that they are talking about? In all this, that area.
Yeah.
So if they are going to have a conversation on that, we definitely find out that we do not have more of those people. We don't have them.
Yeah.
Even those who are maybe the ones that can now install solar panel, but the one that we create now, create those products. So now we are talking about value addition, something that will come. It's like Omatanga. You know, you always have Omatanga coming at you in Gilinonji.
Yeah.
There was even a proposal. I don't know that plan, whether that plan was still there.
Yeah.
They want to put a factory in Osifo, Wagana, side.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about, because there's a good foundation at this Wagana secondary school, because it used to be like a technical.
Yeah.
So they can just convert it into that full swing.
Yeah.
And then you also have a factory there that when the memes and all these things are getting their matanga, not the one that you, or maliwa.
Oh.
Those are matanga. How do you call them?
I do not
know. They will know very well that Jemu apricot, or apricot, I think made in those, direct from those things.
Oh, okay, okay. So it's not...
That means we will have a lot of people who are putting up their astrologies, who are transforming a lot of products into finished products.
Mm-hmm. So now they wanted to make, what is it, were they going to make a certain product? Because I know with watermelon you can come up with juice and all this, but with maliwa, what are you coming up with?
Everything.
Oh.
The thing that we drink there is only the other side. The tribes don't do. But all those things, nanga is from that thing. It can be, you know what we get from a nanga.
Mm-hmm. It's protein.
Kuchanga amuje tapati, amuje maradi, kesika chimu.
Uh-huh.
So there are so many. In fact, it was the Prime Minister, the Speaker of the Parliament now, who I think some years back they proposed that there was going to be a factory there.
Yeah.
So all those people who are producing their agri produce and things like that, they can now go. It's like they can go and trade in that side and things there, and the people. Those gems that we are talking about and all those other products can be, value added there. Then, a supply chain. So in terms of logistics, we also have a challenge there.
But
logistics and transportation.
How, if logistics, we are a bit, how, what do you mean?
Sorry. Because number one.
Yeah.
When we want now to, I'm just telling you that logistic and transportation is a need, a big need.
Mm.
So nowadays, young ones are studying these things and things like that. But in practice, it is moving very slow. The ones that you have there is only these big companies who are transporting these tourists and all these other things.
Oh, so you are talking about logistic in terms of company which can transport?
Yes, because you need to create this kind of alliance.
Goods
are coming from Angola, Chicago, and the port and all these other things.
Yeah.
Then within here, you know how the taxi drivers and all these guys who they are the ones who are transporting the parcels that are going on there.
No, I hear you. There, I hear you. Very well.
So now, you see now, if they get somebody, those who are transporting to Tapio or Skango or wherever, they are the ones who are now giving these things. You can see that the coordination and that arrangement.
Yeah.
So there's an opportunity there as well.
No, I hear you.
So I think maybe let me just end up here. So you keep on updating us on those the happenings.
Yeah.
So that we have time, but everybody should just realize that everybody has got a role to play.
Thank you.
So it's not necessarily to be left by one industry. One industry, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, you heard it yourself. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a role to play, especially when it's coming to building of industry. We are talking about green hydrogen. And Uncle Bana just mentioned something very important to say. In terms of logistics, there's an opportunity. How many local logistic companies do we have in Namibia? It's not the logistic of having just two trucks, but real logistics. Because when you look at what is happening around, for example, Eniveco was supposed to or is supposed to transport people, cement transport. And there was supposed to be another form of transport which is connecting logistics. Because you find Eniveco going to the north or coming from the north, but when you look at a trailer, what is there was not even supposed to be carried there. It's not standard. It's not how things are supposed to be carried. Because we are supposed to know this one is for items. That's why there used to be trains to say, trains, you support logistics. If I have my Omatanga from Ovambore, and if I have my cattle from Omaheke, I put them in that train and I move them from point A to B. And that is the strength of logistics. But can be in a Iveco, then there is a goat and there is also a donkey in the trailer, and there is a lot of things. And it's not in order. It's not healthy. That's why you have. That's why, although not entirely, although Namibia has the best road infrastructure in Africa, the way we are using those roads is not what was supposed to be. So that's why we are talking about the need for logistics. That's why if you have a logistical company or if you have interest in logistics, I think that is now a good opportunity, especially either it's green hydrogen, either it's farming. Logistics is what is connecting the customer and also, the business. It's also what is connecting a supplier and also who is being supplied. And it's logistics which is connecting businesses and which is keep the money flowing, because there is no trade without effective logistics, because that is another expenditure that you are going to use if you don't have clear logistics. Today we were just speaking about we covered the news on Mali where the rebels or the militants which are linked to Al Qaeda are blocking the routes. That is logistics. Yeah, that is logistics. When you don't have enough, when you don't have a healthy logistic, you can't move forward. So that's why when we discuss about the aspect of green hydrogen, we must think beyond the obvious. We must think beyond the obvious, although we cannot be in charge of everything. Although we cannot be in charge of everything. So it's very important also to see what is that which is in our control. So, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and we have around 16 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Just for your own information, the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. And like we're always indicating to you that, you must make the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information. And when you are reading context, when you are reading content on that, you must make sure that you make the Villager newspaper as part of your information. And when you read it, and it's up to you to go through, go to our Facebook page, go to our LinkedIn, go to our Instagram, type in the Villager newspaper, follow that link, then you can be able to download that soft copy, and you can get those free information on economic matters. There's an aspect of Namibia Lake up-to-date, picture on skill landscape. There's a very interesting article which is written by, Menoa Varihangala, and also Dwight Leaks. That is at our front page. You need to look at that. You need to look at that. Need to look at that, and you also need to look at the report based on what happened, especially in benchmarking the Namibia skill or looking at the skill gaps in Namibia. And for your information, if you open the Villager newspaper, for those of you who want to advance your study, there's also programs from Vervicia. Programs from Vervicia. If you want to be a social worker, which is quite in demand, or you want to study community health, mental health, I think that is now your opportunity. Read the Villager newspaper and also get access to the content of what is there, especially when it's coming to programs offered by Vervicia, and make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. And another interesting article written by Loise Shimi. Go and read the aspect of we talk about value addition. This is where what we cover. Talk about value addition. This is what we cover. And don't say you were not taught. Because if I'm telling you to say go and read the Villager newspaper, don't say you were not taught, because filling your mind with important information will also help you to move forward very fast. Will help you to move forward very fast. Because when you look at like this article on plans for regional processing centers. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you also to go and read and also see what is the president saying. What is the president saying about the regional processing center? What is the president saying? What is the president saying? What are the efforts of government, especially when it's coming to value addition? Because we have been talking about a lot of things. And when they are saying it's not business as usual, we report to that. And we also report what is there on the ground which is stating that it's not business as usual. So that's why we are always indicating to you that go and read the Villager newspaper. So also, so need to look at the aspect of housing. We cover the aspect of housing. Cover the aspect of housing. There's quite a lot of interesting news. And the center of debate, particularly policymakers and also on social media, it's well settled here at the Villager newspaper. It's well settled here, especially when Dama East School budget diverted to other school. That's a very interesting article written by Anakelta Haikela there. And there have been a lot of debate to say people are being taught under the tree in Kavango. People are being taught under the tree. Some people are saying, no, we are not teaching them under the tree. There is another school built how many kilometers from here. But for us to settle the score, make sure that you get this article. You get this article from the Villager newspaper. Then you can get a real content of information, content of the matter, and you see also what individuals are saying. And yeah, for us also to get this context, we don't only write in English. If you are a Shuambo speaker, it's quite a very interesting article again with the Villager newspaper. That is on geopolitics. That is on geopolitics, especially when you look at the conflict in Sudan. It's quite an interesting article. It is written by Francis Nengera. That's why if you are not able to grasp the whole content in the English language, you can also be able to get access to the Villager newspaper, those which are written in English, and also you can also find in Oshuambo. Not only that we look at what is there economic wise, we also look at opinionated articles from experts and researchers, and it's up to you. So one written article by Stefanos Pombiri there, it's up to you to go in and also read about it, and also see what is the view of a researcher. What are the opinion of a researcher? Because at the end of the day, your opinions and views matters. Your opinions and views matters, because that is what will allow people also to see where are you operating from. Where are you operating from? Because we may be at the same house. We may have gone to the same high school or same university or got the same training, but we always have different perspectives about same topic. Different perspective about same topic. That's why we are saying reading context and content. And it's also very important also to look at what other people are thinking about that situation. Because one of the things is that you find yourself at a situation where you think you are correct about a certain issue, but it's just your opinion, or you are correct but not 100% correct. There is always somebody who can come and also add to the content and also context of what you are saying. So read the Villager newspaper and you will not miss out. So We have around seven minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us at 083-888-4001. So Like we are saying, today we are looking at Global Africa Hydrogen Summit, Global Africa Hydrogen Summit, where you have various experts and industrial players around the world who are here in Namibia discussing about opportunities and challenges and what are some of the progress, investment, and also trade. So you understand that Namibia, we are positioned as a strategic hub, especially when it's coming to resources. And the question that we are continue to asking ourselves is that, are these resources that we have in our country going to make us, or they are going to break us? And we can't be between. So it's either we are going to be a wealthy nation, or we are going to be disorganized due to the wealth of resources that we have. Because look at other countries. Look at Qatar. Qatar has advanced. Singapore took an opportunity. Japan rebuilt itself. You look at India. You look at China. You look at country which has advanced themselves. But you also have an example of countries which those resources have put themselves in trouble, such as you look at Libya, look at Sudan, look at Iraq, look at the DRC. And you look at many other countries, look at Central Africa. You also look at a bit of Mozambique, because where there is wealth, there is power. When there is wealth, there is competition. But when there is wealth, there is also development. It's up to us also to see, when you are coming at these discussions, when you are coming at these discussions of green hydrogen, let us not only think about,
Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, the time is 2 minutes past the hour of 7. 2 minutes past the hour of 7. And you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 8. And before we go to what we have on the table today, it's also Namibia victory. Namibia victory, especially when it's coming to football. It was indicated that yesterday Namibia has won their match against Sao Tome. That was in Botswana. That was Namibia won 3-0 after well-known striker Peter Sharulile has scored 3 goals. That is a hat-trick, 3-0, and which set Namibia at a very good position, to be hopeful to qualify for FIFA World Cup, and it's quite a very interesting news. And it's also maybe giving also hope to say, maybe one day when it's coming to the sport economy, Namibia will become somebody. Because if, and it's also trying to indicating to you that if sport infrastructures are well built, if our sport, if our athletes
well sponsored. It also will make Namibia to move into the map. It also make Namibia to move into the map because it has proven itself. Because when you look at a person like Peter Sharurele, this is one of the number one, not only number one player in Namibia. He dominated the league of South Africa. He broke the records of Siyabonga Nomvete, and he's one of the top footballers, or one of the top footballers in Africa. It's coming from Namibia, but when you look at the Namibia infrastructure, football infrastructure, you also be able to see that we are not yet in a position to host African tournament or play African sport. But you'll be able also to see that if efforts, what is being put on the table is what is also being done. Maybe at one point we'll also be able to be in the map because, you know, Namibia we had good footballers, we have talented people, but our infrastructure and our investment in our talented people, for it can be from creative industry, you go to sport. When you go on international ground, we don't perform anymore because little to no investment into our Namibian athletes. And I've seen one boxer in Namibia who is now, I think he's an upcoming boxer, he started winning title, but this man used to drive a taxi. At one point, I got into a taxi with him and we started talking, but after a few years, I see him on the map. Then I realized to say, this guy is hustling and is also improving his talent. But imagine if there was full support of this person, he would be somewhere. Because if you look at our sport economy, you look at our ranking, especially you talk about boxing, we are doing well in Africa, but when you go on international ground, you know, few moments in Namibian history where we won cups that if I have to remember very well when it's coming to Namibia, winning, a cup is, I think it's that time, was it 2015? It's that time of, Ricardo Manetti when he was a coach, when we won COSAFA. And from there, I don't think we have recovered anymore. We just become Simon Yamarombo. We just being whipped out here and there, left, right, and center. The last time we qualified for World Cup, I cannot remember watching Namibia playing at the World Cup for the past 20 years. I cannot remember that. If you can remember, maybe you can correct me. And the last time we were also very happy when it's coming to the sport. It's that time of 2009 when Hitman made history by bringing up, national title, that is WBA, that time when he defeated Yusuke Komori from from Japan. That time we were also getting somewhere in the map, and for the first time also since the time of Harry Simon when he was at his peak, that we see Namibian being promoted. But what we are trying to say is that the Namibia winning yesterday, it's also giving us hope to say we have people. If you look at how Peter Sharurele was scoring those goals, you'll be able to understand also that talent is there. If you look at the ranking that Sharurele is breaking in South Africa and in Africa in general, they are unimaginable. But how many Peter Sharurele do we have in Namibia that are not supported? If we can just look at that area, I think when it's coming to sport, you would be somewhere. And it's also a good thing to celebrate. The last time Namibia we were united is when Boma was overtaking those Jamaican ladies in Japan Olympic. But yeah, something that we need to look at, and also asking ourselves questions to say how many Namibians are dying with their talent, especially in athletes, even musics, even actors. And what can we do apart from talking? Is it really that Namibia, we are not good at playing football, that we never qualified for World Cup in the past 20 years or so? Or is it because we are not supported on that ground? What can we do moving forward? So those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. But that is not the discussion for today. It's just a very important discussion also to have, especially when it's coming to football and also when it's coming to advancing the talents of Namibia. Because when you look at the sport economy, England, Spain, and also Germany, they're one of top leagues in the world in terms of football, and generate a lot of money to the economy, generate a lot of money even to EU. And when you economize that, or when you invest in sport, you'll be able also to see that you don't only improve talent, or you don't only improve talent, but you also improve circulation of finance and also development of infrastructure. So, moving forward, today we are going to look at the recently started or the recently commenced event, which is it's a Global African Hydrogen Summit. It's a Global African Hydrogen Summit, where you have various international players, continental players, who are gathered here in Namibia, and also discuss about opportunities, and also about how we can advance or add value, and also benefit too from the green hydrogen industry, from the green hydrogen industry, and it's also quite very important also to discuss, especially when you are advancing this, when you are advancing this conversation of green hydrogen. It's also quite very important also to ask ourselves to say, how are we going to handle our green hydrogen, and also how can Namibians contribute positively to the development and of this green hydrogen? What are some of the business opportunities which are there? And those are some of the questions that we need to look at. And also to give you a bit of highlight of what have happened, especially yesterday, where there was an opening, or there were master classes, discussions about Namibia. And I also have seen, met a few players in this sector from around the world, such as, you know, France, Mozambique, Germany. And we had a bit of a discussion about the sector of green hydrogen, and I also take you through, and I also take you through a bit of content on the discussion from Namibian side, especially when it's coming to skill development, because at the center of that, at the center of yesterday's conversation was more on skill development, to say, where is Namibia? Where are we standing? Where are we standing as a country? And one of the questions is that ready to deliver, building institutional muscle for hydrogen future. Are we still yet at a discussion, or we are still moving forward? However, there was a very interesting panel, especially where you have a head of cooperation from EU delegation, you have a manager for research and planning from NTA, and you also have a director of vocational training education, director from Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art and Culture. And you're also able to see the discussion from that perspective, to say, where are we Namibians? Where are we Namibians? And what are we doing in terms of moving forward and also become players in these green hydrogen sectors? And the question that was asked is that, do we have skills in Namibia? Do we have skills, or do we have required technical skills in Namibia? And the other thing is also that one of the questions which was asked is also that do we have collaborations between private sector, public sector, and also individual players when it's coming to delivering of green hydrogen result. And it was also very interesting. It was also very interesting also to see, especially when the head of EU cooperation in Namibia has to give some of the perspectives, actually interesting perspectives to see. When it's coming to the aspect of green hydrogen, investors are ready. Investors are ready, but one of the things that he said, one of the things that he said, and if I remember correctly, is that there is a little bit of no cooperation. There's a little bit of no cooperation, and when it's coming to public sector, they are taking a bit of time. They are taking a bit of time, especially when it's coming to delivering or building, institutions, unlike private sector. And there's a bit of skepticism from funders' perspective that was in terms of green hydrogen. Let us look at commercial break and move forward.
When life gifts you...
Honey, the washing machine broke again!
Take control with Express Credit. Get fast, reliable relief when you need it most. Borrow 3,000 to 32,000 Namibian dollars, repayable over 2 to 5 months. Apply for a quick cash loan. Easy application, same day approval. Visit www.expresscredit.com.na or SMS gift to 32274.
Yes, moving forward, because you have a perspective of an investor. You have a perspective of Namibian government, especially when it's coming to green hydrogen and also when it's coming to technical skills. And one of the very interesting also conversation, or one of the very interesting perspective which was brought, one of the very interesting perspective which was brought on the table is the aspect of where Namibia is standing in terms of vocational training education. And Miss Muia, that is Miss Daria Muia, who is a director for vocational training and education in the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, and Art and Culture, stated that Namibia, we are standing at a position where we have also a lot of vocational training graduates who are also in the just around. They are not absorbed by the market. That is what she stated. And she also showed a bit of concern about vocational training education graduates. And one of the things that she mentioned, and it's very interesting, is that, the government at this point in time is at a process of reviving and transforming of vocational training centers. And one of the points which was mentioned is that is to advance the levels of education and the content of education which is being given to these students who are at a vocational training center, and also to make sure that when these vocational training centers are transformed, they offer advanced levels, to say you are not only going to get the level 1 to 4, but you can also go until level 6 and 7. And one of the arguments is also to say the attempt to transform vocational training centers to college. That is one of the point. And with reason being that when vocational training centers are transformed to college, they will be able also to give content and advanced level that will allow these students to partake in in also green hydrogen sector. And the other thing is also that there is an appointed task force by the government to make sure that they transform the task force team, which is led by one of the academicians from NAST, if I'm not mistaken. And the aim of that team is to brief the government on the standard of Namibia vocational training, and also what are some of the measures to be put on the table so that the vocational training education in Namibia can be transformed, which is quite a very positive thing. And one of the things that Meme Muia indicated is that by early next year, transformation would have would be in the process, as they are waiting for that task force to complete its work and also to present the results. So it's quite a positive news to hear. However, we have questions on top of that. We have a lot of questions on top of that to say, what will happen? What will happen? What is the impact of transformation of vocational education center to college? What is that you are going to be to do differently? What is that you are going to do differently from what you are already doing? And do we have something on top of that? And it's also something that we need also to discuss, to say, do we have something on top of that? What do I mean by that? When I say do we have something on top of that, we have seen transformation of techniques to universities, but unemployment has still continued, or innovation has still been a barrier. We have seen transformation of techniques to universities. Because it's very interesting also to see that at one point you get high level of education where you can be able to specialize and do something. And it's also very important also to look at the statistics also, what you have already have to say. Is it only transformation or advancement in terms of the levels of education, or there is something more than that? Because that is where we need to get into. And that is something that we have been also discussing at this platform, to say our people who went to vocational training, education, our technicians, our artisans, do they have other skills such as project management? Or do they have other skills such as leadership? Or do they have other skills such as financial management? Because if that is not being done, it will be very difficult to have an impact, because it will be absolutely a bit of no change, because you just change the university, you just end another module, which that person could have gotten when he or she goes to a university to add to that level. Let me say you did electrical, a diploma in electronics or electrical engineering. You can still advance with the content, so you can become an engineer in electrical engineering at the NUST or at the University of Namibia. But the question we are asking is that, do we have more on top of that? Because green hydrogen is not an easy thing to do. I mean, it's not an easy project to carry on. And also partaking in that does not mean that you are at the center of that. Yeah, that's why, you know, when we are bringing about this conversation, we are also asking those questions to say, who will be at the center of that, and how are our shares? What markets do we have? How are our shares in that green hydrogen as ordinary Namibian? So that is one of the discussion which was brought about, and also the question was asked, and it was also very interesting also to see how. I managed to be in the group of in a group discussion where these various experts from various parts of the world have to discuss, and also got an opportunity also to listen to what are these people thinking about our country, and what are they thinking need to be done, which is quite a very positive thing to say. What are those things that need to be done in order to make sure that at least you add value to the product, or at least you advance the industries of that country. Because one of the questions which was asked, and it was very interesting to see that one of the questions which was asked is to say, what is need to be done, or what is needed for an efficient participation of public and the private sector in opportunity-driven approach? That is one of the questions which was asked at the masterclass in terms of, in the context of green hydrogen,
to say what is need to be done
for an efficient participation of public and also public sector. I mean public and also private sector in opportunity-driven approach. A lot of things, I was so surprised to listen to various, industrial players from around the world, because a lot of things we have been discussing about them here. A lot of things we have been discussing about them here. Especially when it's coming to trust. Issues of trust between public and private sector. There must be building of trust before cooperation. There must be building of trust. The issue of sharing insight and data. The issue of sharing insight and data. And it's a fact of the matter to say, when you are embarking on projects of green hydrogen or which has already started, data and information matters. But it's undeniable also to see that even when you look at the financial sector, you'll be able to realize that private sector, they invest more in research and development, and they have more data, and they are not sharing this data. There was a discussion on, because if you look at discussion, for example, of issues of cyber security, you'll be able also to understand that private sector, they have very strong walls. They have very strong data. They have very strong techniques, or they are more advanced in terms of protecting themselves. But when it's coming to government, it's coming to local and regional authority, it's an open cut. So that's why one of the things is that for us to promote effective participation of public and private sector in opportunity-driven approach, number one is trust and cooperation. Trust and cooperation. And the other thing which was also put on the table is the issue of accountability. It's the issue of accountability. When you speak about when you speak about trust, I have to trust you, but we must also be accountable to each other, and there must also be an element of transparency, because when you have an element of transparency in management of your natural resources, it's more easier to be trusted, and it's also more easier to do business, because without transparency, we wouldn't be where we need to get into. Because remember, we want to go somewhere. We want to go somewhere as a country. Green hydrogen is ours. Oil and gas is ours. But you know where the problem is? It's how we deal with our businesses every day. It's how we deal with our business every day. Look at the government. Look at their expenditure. Look at their management of natural resources. It's not only the central government. Look at local authorities. The report from Auditor General is out. Look at that. There is no, almost all towns, almost all sectors, if not all, we are not being able to manage our resources. And number one of the main important things is governance. One of the main important things in government is governance. And remember, we are going to fight each other. We are going to fight each other if we don't change the way we do things. We are going to fight each other in this green hydrogen project. We are going to fight each other in this oil and gas, because if we cannot manage our natural resources, if we cannot manage resources effectively with a transparent manner, we are not going to achieve anything. Because remember, if you have EU as a partner, we can say whatever you want about EU, but EU, you cannot take away transparency from them. If they are funding you, you'll be able to understand that they are very, very clear about what they want. They don't deal with the financial report of forging documents. They want what is it, where you spend their money on. But the question is that how are we going to pull up this bigger project, which I've already started, by the way, and what will happen in the next 5 years? Because where money is involved, where human greed is also involved, where challenges are also involved. So let us look at the commercial break. Because we have around 30 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us at 083-288-401, 083-288-401. Today we are reflecting on Global Africa Hydrogen Summit, which is an ongoing summit. which is happening in Namibia, where you have a lot of industrial players from around the world, where they are discussing about opportunities, investment, and also the future of green hydrogen. Because, you know, Namibia, we are standing as a strategic hub, not only in terms of green hydrogen, also the futuristic positioning of Namibia in terms of oil and gas. That is where we are standing so far. Then the question is that these things that we have, are they going to make us or are they going to break us? Because there are only two things we can't be between. If we manage them very well, by 2050, we are all going to be wealthy, and we are going to be so optimistic about the future, and industries are going to be built. But if they break us, by 2050, we are going to fight each other here in the street. We are going to beat each other. Everybody is going to have a gang. And it's only the man who has power who is going to lead. But that is not where we want to get into. That is not where we want to get into. Because when we are bringing about this, economic developmental conversation, we want to see the Namibia that we want to see in the lens of African continental Agenda 2063, the Africa that we want, where development is well defined. To say we want to see the Africa not only develop in terms of infrastructure, but Africa which is centered in human development, the Africa of peace and stability, silencing of gun, the Africa of cultural diversity and all those things. The Africa where development is seen, where women and children are protected. But is that what we see? Is that the reflection of us, even in the Namibian context? Is that the reflection of us? Is our development centered on human development? So, let us look at commercial break, then we move forward. Because these are critical conversations that we must have, because we must not run away from conversation until it's too late. Because when you are doing risk testing, you don't need to sound like a pessimist or somebody who is negative, but somebody who wants to protect that what you are risk testing. So let us get the commercial break, then we move forward.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you.
Yes, you can call back. You can call back. Then you give your view. So it's 083-288-401. So you can call back and give your contribution, because That is what is matter. That is what is matter. We need to hear from you also. We need to hear from you. What do you think about the conversation? And what can we do moving forward? So, at this point, it's also very important also to realize that the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. That is why if you want to get contest, if you want to get content and context of economic matters, the Villager newspaper is out, and you can access it by just making sure that you send your name and save this as your WhatsApp contact detail, 081-241-44. So when you do that, then you'll be able to receive the Villager newspaper. Hello?
Sorry, man.
Hello?
Sorry. Good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
No, I'm well.
So, David Chombe.
Mm.
Yeah, so, yes, the vocational, I think, I don't know whether we spoke about them yesterday.
No, they were speaking what you always speaking. That's why I wanted you to come to this conversation.
No.
It's like you read, they read your mind.
A prophet of the doom, what?
Yeah.
Whenever there's politics, those are the terms that you hear now. Hey, the prophet of doom.
You know what? Politicians, they create a lot of sophisticated vocabulary, especially when they are fighting. Oh, the charlatans, the what, I thought that they say, no, where did these people learn English?
Latin America.
Oh, no, they know their word. When they start speaking,
you start listening.
Now,
yeah. Yes, I think we all have a stake.
Yeah.
We all have a lot to play in those development.
Yeah.
So remember, these are the things that I don't know. Honestly speaking, sometimes I wonder if we have those few ones that we have.
Yeah.
The artisans and all those who have done technical.
Yeah.
At least we also need a lot of instructor.
Mm.
You know, we have got very few instructor.
Mm-hmm.
In that area.
Yeah.
Sorry. We usually have a conversation with my son, because he's also in that area.
Mm.
And I said, fine, since you are here and you are good, why don't you think about becoming an instructor?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, these are guys who have got good brain, like mathematics, physics, chemistry, you know, those ones.
Yeah.
And now this green hydrogen and all this industrial, what is it that they are talking about? In all this, that area.
Yeah.
So if they are going to have a conversation on that,
yeah,
we definitely find out that we do not have more of those people. We don't have them.
Yeah.
Even those who are maybe the ones that can now install solar panel, but the one that we create now, create those products. So now we are talking about value addition, something that will come. It's like, you know, it's like Omatanga. You know, you always have Omatanga coming out in Ngirinonji.
Yeah.
But there was even a proposal. I don't know that plan, whether that plan was still there.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah.
They want to put a factory.
Yeah.
In Osifo, Wagana, that
yeah.
side.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about, because there's a good foundation at this Rakana Secondary School, because it used to be like a technical.
Yeah.
So they can just convert it into that full swing.
Yeah.
And then you also have a factory there that when the members and all these things are getting their matanga, not the one that you, or Maliwa.
Oh.
Those are matanga. How do you call them?
I do not
know. Okay, we know very well that Jemu Capricot, or Capricot, is, I think, made in those, direct from those things.
Okay. So it's not...
that means we will have a lot of people who are putting up their astrologies, who are transforming some, a lot of products into finished products.
Mm-hmm. So now they wanted to make were they going to make a certain product? Because I know with watermelon you can come up with juice and all this, but with mariwa, what are you coming up with?
Everything.
Oh.
The thing that we drink there is only the don't do. But all those things, enanga is from that thing. It can be, you know where what we get from enanga.
Mm-hmm. It's protein.
Kuchanga amuje tapati, amuje maradi, kesika chimu. So there are so many. In fact, it was the Prime Minister, the Speaker of the Parliament now, who I think some years back they proposed that there was going to be a factory there.
Yeah.
So all those people who are producing their agri produce and things like that, they can now go. It's like they can go and trade in that side and things there. And the people, those gems that we are talking about and all those other products can be, value added there. Then, supply chain. So in terms of logistics, we also have a challenge there.
But
logistics and transportation.
How, if logistics, we are a bit, how, what do you mean?
Sorry. Because number one.
Yeah.
When we want now to, I'm just telling you that logistic and transportation is a need, a big need. So nowadays, young ones are studying these things and things like that. But in practice, it is moving very slow. The ones that you have there is only these big companies who are transporting these tourists and all these other things.
Oh, so you are talking about logistic in terms of company which can transport?
Yes, because you need to create this kind of alliance.
Goods
are coming from Angola, Chicago, and the port and all these other things.
Yeah.
Then within here, you know how the taxi drivers and all these guys who they are the ones who are transporting the parcels that are going on there.
No, I hear you. I hear you. Very well. Very well.
So now, you see now, if they get somebody, those who are transporting to Tapio or Skango or wherever, they are the ones who are now giving these things. You can see that the coordination and the arrangement.
Yeah.
So, there's an opportunity there as well.
No, I hear you.
So I think maybe let me just end up here. So, you keep on updating us on those, the happenings.
Yeah.
So that we have time, but everybody should just realize that everybody has got a role to play.
Thank you.
So, it's not necessarily to be left by one.
It's not one industry.
One industry, yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
Yes, you heard it yourself. Everybody has a role to play. Everybody has a role to play, especially when it's coming to building of industry. We are talking about green hydrogen. And Uncle Bwana just mentioned something very important to say. In terms of logistics, there's an opportunity. How many local logistic companies do we have in Namibia? It's not the logistic of having just two trucks, but real logistics. Because when you look at what is happening around, for example, an Iveco was supposed to or is supposed to transport people, cement transport. And there was supposed to be another form of transport which is connecting logistics. Because you find an Iveco going to the north or coming from the north, but when you look at a trailer, what is there was not even supposed to be carried there. It's not standard. It's not how things are supposed to be carried. Because we are supposed to know this one is for items. That's why there used to be trains to say, trains, you support logistics. If I have my Omatanga from Ovambore, and if I have my kettle from Omahika, I put them in that train and I move them from point A to B. And that is the strength of logistics. But can be in a Iveco, then there is a goat, and there is also a donkey in a trailer, and there is a lot of things. And it's not in order, it's not healthy. That's why you have, although not entirely, although Namibia has the best the best road infrastructure in Africa, the way we are using those roads is not what was supposed to be. So that's why we are talking about the need for logistics. That's why if you have a logistical company or if you have interest in logistics, I think that is now a good opportunity, especially either it's green hydrogen, either it's farming. Logistics is what is connecting the customer and also, you know, the business. It's also what is connecting a supplier and also who is being supplied. And it's logistic which is connecting businesses and which is keep the money flowing, because there is no trade without effective logistics, because that is another expenditure that you are going to use if you don't have clear logistics. Today we were just speaking about, we covered the news on Mali where the rebels or the militants which are linked to Al-Qaeda are blocking the routes. That is logistics. Yeah, that is logistics. When you don't have enough, when you don't have a healthy logistics, you can't move forward. So that's why when we discuss about the aspect of green hydrogen, we must think beyond the obvious. We must think beyond the obvious, although we cannot be in charge of everything. Although we cannot be in charge of everything. So it's very important also to see what is that which is in our control. So, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we have around 16 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. Just for your own information, the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out. And like we're always indicating to you that, you must make the Villager newspaper as part of your sources of information. And when you are reading context, when you are reading content on that, you must make sure that you make, the Villager newspaper as part of your information. And, when you read it, and it's up to you to go through, go to our Facebook page, go to our LinkedIn, go to our Instagram, type in the Villager newspaper, follow that link, then you can be able to download that soft copy, and you can get those free information on economic matters. There's an aspect of Namibia Lake up-to-date, picture on skill landscape. There's a very interesting article which is written by, you know, Menwa Varihangala, and also Dwayne Leaks. That is at our front page. You need to look at that. You need to look at that. Need to look at that, and you also need to look at the report based on what happened, especially in benchmarking the Namibia skill or looking at the skill gaps in Namibia. And for your information, if you open the Villager newspaper, for those of you who want to advance your study, there's also programs from Vervicia. If you want to be a social worker, which is quite in demand, or you want to study community health, mental health, I think that is now your opportunity. Read the Villager newspaper and also get access to the content of what is there, especially when it's coming to programs offered by Vervicia. And make sure that you read the Villager newspaper. And another interesting article written by Loise Shimi. Go and read the aspect of we talk about value addition. This is where what we cover. Talk about value addition. This is what we cover. And don't say you were not taught. Because if I'm telling you to say go and read the Villager newspaper, don't say you were not taught, because filling your mind with important information will also help you to move forward very fast. Will help you to move forward very fast. Because when you look at, this article on plans for regional processing centers, it's up to you. It's up to you also to go and read. And also see what is the president saying. What is the president saying about regional processing center? What is the president saying? What is the president saying? What are the efforts of government, especially when it's coming to value addition? Because we have been talking about a lot of things, And when they are saying it's not business as usual, we report that, and we also report what is there on the ground which is stating that it's not business as usual. So that's why we are always indicating to you that to go and read the Villager newspaper. So also, the aspect of housing. We cover the aspect of housing. There's quite a lot of interesting news. And the center of debate, particularly policymakers and also on social media, is well settled here at the Villager newspaper. It's well settled here, especially when Dama East School budget diverted to other school. That's a very interesting article written by Anakelta Haikela there. And there have been a lot of debate to say people are being taught under the tree in Kavango. People are being taught under the tree. Some people are saying, no, we are not teaching them under the tree. There is another school built how many kilometers from here. But for us to settle the score, make sure that you get this article. You get this article from the Villager newspaper. Then you can get a real content of information, content of the matter, and you see also what individuals are saying. And yeah, for us also to get this context, we don't only write in English. If you are a Shwambo speaker, it's quite a very interesting article again with the Villager newspaper. That is on geopolitics. Especially when you look at conflict in Sudan. It's quite an interesting article. It is written by Francis Nengera. That's why if you are not able to grasp the whole content in the English language, you can also be able to get access to the Villager newspaper. Those which are written in English, and also you can also find in Oshwambo. Not only that we look at what is there economic wise. We also look at opinionated articles from expert and researchers. And it's up to you. So one written article by Stephanus Pombiri there. It's up to you to go in and also read about it, and also see what is the view of a researcher. What are the opinion of a researcher? Because at the end of the day, your opinions and views matters, because that is what will allow people also to see where are you operating from. Because we may be at the same house. We may have gone to the same high school or same university or got the same training, but we always have different perspectives about the same topic. That's why we are saying reading context and content. And it's also very important also to look at what other people are thinking about that situation. Because one of the things is that you find yourself at a situation where you think you are correct about a certain issue, but it's just your opinion. Or you are correct, but not 100% correct. There is always somebody who can come and also add to the content and also context of what you are saying. So read the Villager newspaper and you will not miss out. So we have around 7 minutes. We have around 7 minutes before we come to the end of our conversation. You can still engage us at 083-288-401. So like we are saying, today we are looking at Global Africa Hydrogen Summit, where you have various experts and industrial players around the world who are here in Namibia discussing about opportunities and challenges and what are some of the progress, investment, and also trade. So you understand that Namibia, we are positioned as a strategic hub, especially when it's coming to resources. And the question that we are continue to asking ourselves is that, are these resources that we have in our country going to make us, or they are going to break us? And we can't be between. So either we are going to be a wealthy nation or we are going to be disorganized due to the wealth of resources that we have. Because look at other countries. Look at Qatar. Qatar has advanced. Singapore took an opportunity. Japan rebuilt itself. You look at India, look at China. You look at country which has advanced themselves. But you also have an example of countries which those resources have put themselves in trouble, such as you look at Libya, look at Sudan, look at Iraq, look at the DRC, and you look at many other countries, look at Central Africa. You also look at a bit of Mozambique, because where there is wealth, there is power. When there is wealth, there is competition. But when there is wealth, there is also development. It's up to us also to see. When you are coming at these discussions, when you are coming at these discussions of green hydrogen, let us not only think about.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Yes, dear listeners, we are almost at the end of our conversation. We are almost at the end of Early Morning Scoop. And yeah, today we were looking at issues of economic development. We are looking at Global Africa Hydrogen Summit. We are also looking at views of different experts and also industrial players. And we are also looking at what is happening around the world. What is happening around the world in terms of trade, in terms of governance, in terms of geopolitics. And yeah, like we're always saying, we are going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Choveri. And yeah, don't forget to like and share our page. That is Eagle FM Namibia. Follow us on our social media platform. That is Facebook, X, Instagram, and also LinkedIn, so that you will not miss out when it's coming to economic matters. And yeah, do not also forget to download the Villager newspaper. Do not forget to download the Villager newspaper, because that is your number one e-paper that is going to update you on governance, on trade, investment, geopolitics, and also issues of policies. What is the government is saying, and also what is the government is doing. So, from me, David Shombe, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop. And we are going to give the mic to Mike Oshoveri to unpack the day. So continue following us, and also do not forget to download Eagle FM app so that you'll be up to date. So bye-bye for now.